Exodus chapter 19, and you may not see how this ties exactly at first, but we're trusting that by the time we're done, everything will tie in. Exodus 19 and also Isaiah chapter 64. Exodus 19 and Isaiah 64. Beginning at verse 16 of chapter 19 of the book of Exodus. Exodus 19, verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake. And God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up. Praise God. Isaiah 64, beginning at verse 1, we're going to read two verses here. Isaiah writes, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth. The fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of once again breaking the bread of life and distributing, Lord, that we have the privilege of partaking together from the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would once again feed us and nourish us and edify us and build us up. And God, help us to take of that which you have given, Lord, and be made stronger and the better for it. God, have your way the rest of this service. Anoint the words that are preached, Lord, as your Word is already anointed in the hearer, Lord, to hear. In Jesus' name. God, help us, we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to preach simply on a rending of the heavens. A rending of the heavens. I'm often intrigued at the way God works and the timing of His working. I'm always intrigued by His timing, because it becomes clear that He is always on time. Praise God. He knows what we need, He knows how we need it, and He knows when we need it. Somebody say amen this morning. If we were to read this, the context of this chapter, we would find that it has been exactly 3 months since the children of Israel left Egypt, and they have now arrived in Sinai. Verse number 1 of chapter 19 tells us, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. Amen. The children of Israel had served and had lived in Egypt for 430 long years. Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. But the Lord knows, and the Lord remembered, and the Lord moved, and the Lord delivered.
Amen.
Praise God. We find them here now at the valley or in the vicinity of the mountain known as Sinai. We could briefly summarize the history of this people, these wandering nomads in the wilderness. We could briefly summarize the history of this nation with the mention of three men who were called out of their father's house. I think first of a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham was called from his father's house in the Ur of the Chaldees. The Bible says that he was seeking a city with foundations whose builder and maker was God. And with a barren wife, he was to become the father of a mighty nation. Joseph, he also was called in a rather unconventional way from his father's house, sold as a slave by his hateful brothers. This young teenage boy makes a sad and lonely trip into Egypt. But God had given this young boy a dream, and he would one day become the preserver and the savior of his people and the world. Moses, spared from Pharaoh's murderous plan to destroy the Hebrew baby boys, he too was called from his father's house and raised in the courts of Pharaoh. This man, Moses, would one day become the deliverer of the nation of people God had preserved. Amen. That's the history of the children of Israel now up until our text as we read it this morning. Students of the Bible are aware that the history of this particular peculiar people has a spiritual significance. God created a perfect and a sinless man. He placed him with his beautiful wife, whom he also created, in a lovely paradise called the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that God planted this garden. The Bible says that out of the ground the Lord made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. Amen. The Bible says that these trees were planted and that they also were good for food. Amen. The Bible says that in the midst of this garden there were specific trees. One was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in the midst of this garden, the Bible says, there also was the tree of life. Amen. It was indeed a paradise. This Garden of Eden was a heaven on earth. Everywhere that man would look, every avenue that he would trod, everything that his eye would behold would be a thing of beauty. It would be a thing to be desired. Amen. It was heaven on earth. Amen. And God created man to have life, and that his life would be an abundant life. We see this pictured in the Garden of Eden. It was everything anybody could ever dream of. But listen, the moment God set man in the midst of this garden, the enemy set about to destroy him. Well, I like to use my imagination. I can't help but think how foolish it would be to take my precious children as a helpless infant and take them and place them right in the very place where it would be dangerous. It could cost them their lives. There's something about God's timing, though. Something about the way God moves and the way He does things that you and I, though we may ask why, know that He knows always what is best. In time, this couple, this very couple, was spiritually bound and shackled and sold in slavery to sin. Paul says that because of the sin of this one man, all are now sinners and all must die. We never will probably fully comprehend, even though I've had somebody said, "What's when we get to heaven, then I'm gonna stand before Him and He's got a lot of answering to do." No, friend. God's not going to have to answer to anything. Amen. I believe, though, that when we get to heaven, we're going to see things from a different perspective and know that God does all things well. Amen. He does them very well. And so though we find this man and this woman in the Garden of Eden, and though we find in them the picture of perfection and beauty, we find that there is a very real enemy seeking to destroy them. And He did just that. He wrecked their lives. He ruined humankind. But I've got some good news as we go along here, and I'm not done, obviously. A news flash for you. Before the foundation of the world, God already had it worked out. Something about the way God works. Something about His wonderful timing. Amen. Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan. Can I tell you about another who left his father's house? Amen. Like Abraham, he would be the father of a mighty nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Like Moses, he would be a mighty deliverer. Amen. He says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Amen. To heal the brokenhearted. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him to set at liberty them that are bruised. Amen. And like Joseph, he would be the great Savior and Preserver. Amen. All getting back to our text here now. God had not forgotten His people Israel. Amen. I can't help but think of a song that came to mind this morning. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build His home in us just to move away. He didn't pick us up to let us down. Amen. Moses wrote later in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 23, He brought us out, amen, from thence, that He might bring us in to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now some feel that what Isaiah wrote in chapter 64 of his book was possibly alluding to God's coming down on Mount Sinai. In my mind, I get the picture of an emergency responder. The Lord help me here just for a few more moments. I get the picture of an emergency responder coming to the rescue of one who is in distress. If you can use your imagination for a moment, maybe in some tragic disaster, a building is on fire, or maybe there's been an automobile accident, and there are passengers trapped on the inside.
Now I want you to get for a moment, just to allow your mind to race for a moment and think about the whirring of the sirens. Amen. Think about the noise and the chaos and what appears to be a lot of ruckus when all of a sudden someone appears on the scene with the tools and the know-how to respond to the situation. There in the burning house comes an emergency responder, and it doesn't matter what is between them and the one who is the victim. Amen. Whether it be a window, whether it be a door or a wall, what is it that they will begin to do? They'll break out the windows. Amen. They'll come to the car. They'll cut open the car and they'll remove the doors. Amen. They'll tear down the walls if they have to. Amen. Whatever may hinder them, so that, listen now, so that everything will be moved out of the way, so that they can get to the one who is in need. Now let's think about that. Amen. Isaiah writes, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens." Amen. That's the kind of what this could be talking about here a little bit. Metaphorically speaking, a tearing back, if you will, of anything that would stand in the way, of anything that would come between. Amen. Oh, we read in our text that God came down in fire and smoke, and the mountains quaked greatly. Amen. Then he called Moses. And the Bible says in verse 20, then Moses went up. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let me see there. Find that again. Verse 18 says, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Verse 19, when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered. I don't know exactly what Moses said, but maybe as he stood and saw, amen, as he watched in awe of the presence and the glory of God coming down upon the mountain, there in between God and the people, stands the leader, amen, watching this manifestation of divine power and the quaking of the mountain and the rising of the smoke and all this to do. Moses may have cried out, oh God. The Bible tells us that the people trembled. The presence of God came down in this awesome visitation and divine manifestation of His holy presence. God answered him by a voice. I read in Scripture where God answers in different ways. Sometimes we don't hear His voice. Sometimes we don't see specifically Him. The Bible teaches that no man has seen Him and lived. And surely in the presence of God in our cursed state, we could not stand in the presence of the Holy God. Even divine messengers sent from heaven, men, full-grown men, fell down as dead men in the presence of these holy messengers. Amen. Oh, now get the picture. There they are in the valley, stretched out, several hundreds of thousands, possibly over a million souls, and they're standing between God and the people. Amen. As this chosen deliverer, there stands Moses. Amen. Knowing that God was going to come down, knowing that he's been led by a pillar of fire, amen, by day, and a pillar of smoke by night, knowing that this could be none other than God himself coming down for a visit there on the mountain. Amen. On the heavens were it. Amen. Oh, as God descended, amen, and came down into the bout, the quaking of the rocks and the rumbling of the land has caused everyone to tremble. And when God spoke, verse 20 says, The Lord came down on the top and he called Moses to the top. Something about that just kind of made me feel good about that today, this morning, as I was reading that. Amen. Amen. Moses and all the people are down there in the valley. And God has made his way down to the mountain. Amen. I believe that his presence covered the mountain. The Bible gave them instructions. Moses gave them instructions from the Lord that they weren't even to touch the mountain. God's presence came down. God didn't say to Moses this time, "Stand back and take off your shoes." He simply says, verse number 20, "The Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount." And I like that last phrase of four words. "And Moses went up." Amen. "And Moses went up." Ah, can I say to you today, this morning, as we have begun this revival, we've been praying for revival. And as the Spirit of God dropped a thought in my heart last night, amen, God has come down to me, amen, to meet the great and spiritual need of humankind. And down through time, Satan has tried everything he could to stop the plan of God. Amen, but Jesus came right along anyway. Amen. Because he came, salvation has been provided for all the world, and whosoever will can come and find help for their soul. Amen. We read a little farther in the life of Christ. Amen. He died, was buried, and resurrected. Amen. Then he went back up into heaven and sent the Holy Ghost. And I couldn't help this morning but think of that old chorus that said, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul." Do you remember when it was that you got saved? Do you remember how it felt when you got full of the Holy Ghost at 9 or 10 years old? My mind was wasn't even fully, completely developed. And God saved me and filled me with the Holy Ghost for the first time. That's God's plan.
Amen.
That's God's plan. God can do it to our young children. We can see a Holy Ghost break out in our children's church. We can see them get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We don't have to wait till they go to Bible school to learn all these things. Amen. Nobody needs to learn how to receive a gift. Amen. God gave it. Heaven came down. I'm reminded on the day of Pentecost when heaven came down. They weren't expecting what was about to take place. Nobody had told them about Acts chapter 2. It wasn't written yet. Let's just take a moment to look. We don't need to turn there. We're pretty familiar with that. Some of the things that took place on that day. They were there in that upper chamber, that upper room. The Bible tells us that they were all with one accord. And they were in one place. They started out with about 500 souls. Amen. But by the time the prayer meeting and weeded out those that weren't real interested and got down. Oh, listen. It got down to those that were busy about the Master's work. It got down to those that were interested with what God had to give them. And 120 souls were left. And they weren't taught about it. The Bible didn't tell them all about it. But all of a sudden, there was a mighty wind and cloven tongues, like as a fire set upon them. That wasn't in the textbooks. Amen. Oh, but here was what was going down. Amen. The heavens were open. Amen. The heavens were rended. And it wasn't just God coming down, but it was souls reaching up.
Amen.
God gave them what they needed. Hallelujah. It was a rending of the heavens again on Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah. Oh, now listen. Nothing could stop the plan of God when the Lord set it into motion. The Bible makes it clear, the Apostle Paul writing in Galatians, when the fullness of the time was come, prior to that time the devil wanted to snuff him out. He tried to destroy that godly line. He tried to kill every king that was set on the throne of David. He tried to destroy Moses. He tried to destroy anyone that would speak for God. But still yet, when the fullness of the time was come, the Bible says, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Amen. That's good news to you and me this morning. Amen. That though the devil has his plans, amen, God's still going to have the final word. Amen. God couldn't, amen, to Satan couldn't stop the plan of God. Amen. And so all the way until it was fulfilled, and Jesus hanging says, it is finished. Amen. Satan was a defeated foe. Now listen, I take it a step farther here this morning. The rending of the heavens. Since the time that Christ went back up to heaven, and He sent the Holy Ghost, and it set upon those disciples and those followers of Christ, the Holy Ghost has never gone. Do you hear that? As the paraclete, as the comforter, as the one who was called alongside of us, as the one who has taken the place of Christ, who could only be at one place at a time. Amen. To make it all the more effective. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send you another comforter. Amen. It's not one and the same, though both are God. God the Son went back to the Father and sent the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost has never left us. Amen. He says, I will never leave you. No. Or forsake you. What we need today is another rending from the heavens, of the heavens. But it doesn't have to be a rending from that end. We need a rending on the we need a rending on our side. Are you listening to me this morning? Amen. Satan couldn't stop the plan of God from coming down, but Satan seeks this morning to seek you from going up. Amen. The Lord called Moses to the top of the mount, and then Moses went up. Can I ask you a question this morning? If you don't feel the fires of revival, what keeps you, amen, in the valley this morning? What keeps you in discouragement this morning? What keeps you in defeat? What keeps you from being revived? What keeps you? What stands in your way today? What stands between you and your pew and this altar? Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. Amen. Oh, that you this morning, amen, would see that in front of you is all kinds of clutter, and see in your life and in your mind that there are things that have filled it up, amen, that you don't even know if there be any Holy Ghost. You don't even know if the Lord is still present. Amen. Oh, that you, amen, would storm this altar this morning and rend the heavens, tear back the walls, amen, buckle bust open the windows, march on through, rend the heavens, and get the victory that you need today. I can't get in. Why not? Why not? I believe the Lord will help us. Amen. We need a rending of the heavens. He's come down to us. Would to God we would come up to Him. Amen. I read there in the New Testament There was a woman, help me now. There was a woman in the New Testament that did everything she possibly could to take care of her illness on her own. Amen. But she spent everything she had and had nothing more to show of it for, and she was still sick. Amen. There wasn't a soul going to stand in the way. She had to touch his garment. She pressed through the crowd. She wouldn't give up. And the instant she touched him, listen, the instant she touched him, God didn't have to rend the heavens. She had to rend some things out of the way to get to where she could touch God. Amen. And the instant she touched God, amen, Jesus said, I found virtue flow out of me. Amen. What was it? Here it is on the mountain. God came down. His presence flowed down the mountain. And people received what they need from the Lord. Amen. Oh, listen, today we need a rending of the heavens. We need God, amen, to help us. But what He's calling on us to do today is get everything out of the way. Press on through the crowd. Amen. Reach out and touch the Master and receive it. Rend the heavens. Let's look there in Isaiah one more time. Isaiah says, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and that thou wouldest come down. Now look at this. That the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Amen. Oh, when's the last time we prayed through until we felt the presence of God flowing down all over us like the oil upon the anointed one. Amen. That flow from the top to the bottom. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens as when the melting fire burneth. I can't help but imagine what might happen in this week of revival if we would but tear back the shutters, rend the heavens, make way, we're coming home, and see what God might consume in our lives. And we could stand with victory and say, I've been redeemed. And I have been revived. Amen. Nothing. Not the walls. Not the door. Not the windows. Not the people that packed out the house where he was could keep those four men from letting down their friend. Amen. In the very feet of Jesus. Amen. They went to the top of the roof and tore it back. What was it? They were rending, amen, anything that stood in the way so that they could get what they needed from God. A rending of the heavens. Let's stand this morning. Amen. What is it that you have need of this morning? We don't need God to come down again. We need to come to Him. We need to put our hands in the air. We need to rend the heavens. Let nothing stand in the way between your pew and this altar. See what God will do. See what God will do. Amen. How about it this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around just for a moment. Amen. There have been all kinds of things that have hindered you to this point. Amen. Things that have hindered you. Maybe it's been a haunted past. Maybe it's the fact that you felt like you failed God so bad that you could never recover from it. I'm going to tell you, there ain't no mountain high enough, no river wide enough, no sin black enough that the Lord cannot help you. If you, because the Lord's already come down, if you would rend the heavens this morning, if you would storm this altar, casting everything else out of your sight, anything out of your mind, anything that would cloud, anything that would hinder you getting in the presence of God, here's your opportunity. Maybe you feel like I just can't get the victory. I've got this stuff on my mind and I've been so busy and I've got all this stuff. I'm telling you today, rend it. Amen. Cast them down. Throw them aside. She begins to play. I want to know who will be the first to this altar this morning and say, I need to rend the heavens. Lord, you've come down and I need to touch base with you today. I need to move everything, every obstacle, every problem, every sin, every weight, every cloud, anything that would hinder what you would like to do in my life.
Amen. I challenge you. I challenge you. Come and lay him on these altars. Oh, in the heavens this morning. Give a